Okay. Hello. Thank you, Stephen. Good worship. Yes. Okay. Today I will share the Exodus 20. And good to see you guys. I heard that Aaron is sick today. Our beloved pastor. So let's pray for him first, and then we start our learning. God, thank you for this time and this privilege, Lord. I still pray for Pastor Aaron, and please be with him, Lord, and give him very good rest. And Lord, thank you for you, Lord. Please heal him, Lord. Please also bless this time, bless our fellowship, Lord. Please give your wisdom to learn, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how is your week? Good? Okay, yeah. So today we will learn 10 Commandments and the Covenant Community. So let's have an introduction for today's learning. So today's word, we need to law, right? If there's no law, the world will be in chaos. Are you agree with that? God's law is not only the foundation of order, but also the bridge for us to establish a relationship with God. Just like a husband who loves his wife deeply makes a covenant to restore the broken relationship. Yes, it's true. Because our relationship with God broken when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So before this, we have no sin, right? We have a really good relationship with our God. But last time, it's broken. So, God makes a covenant with us through the law because we have left him so far, like Adam and Eve did in Genesis. They chose to go their own way instead of going God's way. So before this relationship begins, God decided to give them a covenant, the Ten Commandments, and the sacrifice system, which is today's topic. It is very worthy to study the Old Testament laws. Why? One of good reasons is that Jesus quoted the Old Testament so many times. He often say that it is written. So when Jesus say it is written, actually he points to Old Testament. So just like in the Sermon on the Mountain, don't misunderstand. It's Matthew chapter 5, 17 to 18. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I come to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until the heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until this purpose is achieved. And another strong support is that Apostle Paul said all scripture is inspired by God. So, okay, as a believer in the New Testament, we think that all scripture here is the whole Bible, right? Includes Old Testament and New Testament. Yes, the Old Testament, the New Testament priority is higher than Old Testament sometimes when we learn. It is true. But here, when Paul wrote letters to Timothy, he actually pointed to the Old Testament because Paul was a Jewish. He wanted to tell the Old Testament Messiah and laws are fulfilled in the New Testament. Okay, let's go on. So we have a review like 3 months ago. Yeah, because my arrangement is to share last of the year, but first of the year. So let me sing one verse. The last will be the first. Okay. Okay, let's have a brief review on the teachings, Pastor Aaron, last Wednesday. it's last teaching. Okay, Wednesday night. So, when we study Exodus 19, and the Israelites camped at the base of Mount Sinai, where Lord talked with Moses by burning bush. And at verse 11, we learned that they are ready on the third day. It reminds that Jesus will be raised from the dead on the third day. He still set a boundary with the people, and only Moses and Aaron can go close to God. It still reminds us that Jesus is a perfect eternal mediator between us and God. Through him, we are saved. And four, he set a great example of the eagles, how they bring their kids when flying, so we can learn how God loves his people and brings them. So God wants to set apart the Israelites as a holy nation. So this is really important. This is the reason why God brought them out of the Egypt. Because set apart. Set apart means holy. Holy means with God. Okay, as a holy nation, God will establish a covenant with his people to make his people different from the nations surrounding them. That is the purpose. So then we study today's message, Ten Commandments. Okay, let's read verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. So who gave these instructions? God. Very good. Yeah. To whom? The people? Israelites. Good, good, good. So Israelites, as the special nation at that time, they were chosen by God and established the next level covenant, the Mosaic covenant. So we are all under the covenant with God. Do you agree with that? Unbelievers, believers, all under the covenant with God. We call God's covenant with Adam and Noah the universal covenant. All people in the world, either Christians or unbelievers, are all under these covenants. But God established a next level special covenant between Abraham until now. He was establishing the next level covenant with Israelites and Moses. It's the first covenant. Later, he will make the next level covenant with David. And until the new covenant in the New Testament, which we are under New Testament. But here, when God gave the people all his instructions, it doesn't mean that he invented it this time. No. But it was written in people's hearts from the beginning. People know what is right, what is wrong in their heart. Okay, like my kids. Maybe your sister. Okay, they know what is wrong even if they like to do wrong. And every time I ask, okay, son, do you know it is wrong? Not his hand. Okay, yeah, I know. But okay, yeah. But he did. Yeah. So it proves the law in their heart from their birth. Child know it. Okay, let's read verse 2-3. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. Okay. Here means the Lord is the only one whom we only deserve to worship. So when we see the manuscript, here is God, here is Elohim. Elohim, right? So God has several names, right? Elohim, Yahweh, right? Like this. So sometimes it still means the gods. For example, the gods of Egypt. It's in Exodus 18:11, when Jethro said, I know now that the Lord is greater than all other gods. Here, all other gods in Hebrew words are Elohim too. This is really interesting, right? Elohim is a plural word. So, let imply what? Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. So here, this verse means God will be their God. He is the only one God, not the gods of Egyptians. In their heart, God will fully replace false gods by himself. Actually, God gave blessings to humans, not these false gods. We can find in the book of Hosea again. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 8. So their mother is shameless prostitute and became pregnant in a shameful way. She said, I will run after other lovers and sell myself to them for food and water, for clothing of wool and linen, and for olive oil and drinks. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal. So Baal, so it's in the book of Hosea, right? So here, their mother represents Israelites. So Baal is the god of wealth and financial success. So God told us here is that this true God is blessing people, not other gods. Even Baal means financial success. Still, our God actually blesses people. I believe that God gave Chiang Mai peace and security. God bless this place. Yes, I believe this. But so sad that people still thought their false gods blessed them. Every blessing is from the true God, not other false gods. Yes, our God has patience. Okay, let's go and study verse for today. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay these sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So here God mentioned what? Idol. So idol. It's really important. John Calvin said the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. Do you agree with that? All idols are made by humans as a symbol that they reject God as their own God and make their own God who can satisfy them. Do you agree with that? God is jealous God. So what means? Okay, we're back to the introduction part, the starting part. It's like a marriage relationship. But this relationship is between humans and the Holy God. First of all, God is the three persons in one. As a person, God has feelings. He will be jealous. But it's good to be jealous, right? Just like when we are in our healthy marriage, we will be jealous if our spouse loves another man or woman. Can you imagine that we don't be jealous of this situation? Of course not. Because we love them, right? We love each other. So why did God tell us not to make idols of ourselves? If you make for yourself an idol, your idol must be yourself, right? Just like King, this name is really long, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. He thought he was greatest, right? In the book of Daniel, and 3:1, he said, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue in the province of Babylon. But God told him, when he was enjoying his power, like in Daniel 4:30, as I looked out, it's written, as he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. Okay, it's like lots of people, right? Like Genghis Khan, like Qin Shi Huang or every like dictator, okay, like this, right? So this time God told him, King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a corn. 7 periods of time will pass while you live as this way, until you learn that Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. So this really happened later when you read the book of Daniel. Yes, overall, God is only God that we deserve to worship. No other gods, even or ourselves. So this world still has many gods here. Many gods here. Not only like gold gods or silver gods. Many gods here, like money, power, fame. Do you love money more than God? So this idols might be work achievements, recognition on the social media, or even excessive family responsibilities, or even a church service. If these things take over our desire for God, they become idols. For me, I'm still eager to worship these gods in my sinful nature. But I must remember this. God is my God. I must worship Him only. You remember the story of the rich man in the New Testament? He told Jesus in Matthew 19:16. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? So what Jesus told him, do you remember? He said, kept all the commandments. Finally, Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Jesus said this really sincerely, not a joke. But it revealed his idol. Did he keep the Ten Commandments? No, he said he did, but actually he's not. Obviously his idol is his money. So what do you think of your idol today? Okay, let's read verse 7. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name.
So God is holy.
Name represents somebody. Our name represents us. Yahweh is God's name. It represents God. Unfortunately, we have sin. So God gave this instruction because we will misuse God's name in nature. So in the teachings on the mountain from, I love the teachings on the mountain, Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 8. It's really good. Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 37 says, you have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heavens, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn your hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Why did Jesus say this? Because in the ancient Hebrew culture, they thought if they make oaths in the name of heaven, they will keep the oaths. Otherwise, they can break if possible. So, but because we have sinful nature, so God knows that we will discredit his holiness. For the examples in the history, the most famous one is what? Crusades. Crusades, right? In the name of God. Yeah, I will conquer. I will destroy. But the classic example of misusing God's name is in the church. Indulgences, right? In the Middle Ages. In medieval Europe, the Catholic Church promoted the practice of selling indulgences. If people buy indulgences, okay, it's good. They could gain forgiveness or reduce punishment. It was also available for the loved ones who passed away, but it went so far from the scripture. Right? Misuse God's name. The abuse of indulgences was a major catalyst for Martin Luther's Reformation in 1517 in his 95 theses, which mentioned by Pastor Aaron before. Ruler condemned the practice as a corruption of true Christian faith and the misuse of God's name. So don't misuse the name of God because God is holy. We can only say that what should we say or do, which Bible teaches us. If not, we will be corrupt, like in the book of Micah said. Okay, Micah, chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. You rulers make decisions based on bribes. You priests teach God's law not only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of you claim to depend on the Lord. No harm can come to us. You say, for the Lord's here among us. Because of you, Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to ruins. A thicket will grow on the highest where the temple now stands. So it's still for the same nation. Their descendants, these people. It reminds us as a child of God, we should honor God's name. Our family is studying the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Yes, before the night prayer, our family. And the very first words are that the great business of life is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Yeah. Okay. So let's read verse 8 to 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day or rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy. The seventh day. Okay, it is the same pattern of God's creation. We should remember God and his work. So by the Sabbath day, we can remember how God created the world. So God created the world and everything. It's also a day where we can rest in God, have a true relationship with God. For our family, we try to not have entertainment on Sunday, but read the Bible and listen to devotional audios because we want to be close with God on this day, not only coming to church and worship. It helps us a lot with the relationship with God. So it's not requirements, but when we did this, we so enjoy this time. So another thing that we can observe is that the slaves have no days to rest. But the Israelites who were freed by God have the right to rest one day each week. I know that China had no Saturday and Sunday 100 years ago, right? Do we have Saturday and Sunday? No. So Guzik said this is an important principle that might be easily passed over. Here God declared the essential humanity and dignity of women, slaves, and strangers, and said they had the same right to a day of rest as a free Israelite man. This was certainly a radical concept in the ancient world. Yes, we are free. So, in the New Testament, we don't need to follow the rules of Sabbath. So today, when we believe God, we don't need to follow actually in Torah the Sabbath. Colossians. I usually read Chinese Bible. Sorry, but when I prepare this, I prepare English. Okay. Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. For these rules are only shadow of reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. So actually now we are in Sabbath. Yeah. It doesn't mean that Jesus taught not to follow the Sabbath. Quite the opposite. Now we are living in the New Testament era. We have Jesus in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, we have entered another Sabbath. It is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 to 11. So God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, doesn't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua has succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God, for all who have entered in God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. So it told that
told us that we entered another Sabbath for Jesus because Jesus has done the work. If you still don't understand, please read the whole chapter of Hebrew chapter 4 instead. I will not continue to talk here. So let's continue to learn verse 12 to 17. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Yes, I remember that Pastor Aaron told me that, okay, when we learn Ten Commandments, it's really easy. It's like a cross. It's like a cross, like a cross, right? First is the relationship with God. Next, the relationship with people, neighbors. So, verse 12 to 17 is for the relationship with others. And the first four is relationship with God. So, sorry. So the last six commandments are for our relationship with other people. And these six commandments are also applicable almost all cultures, I think. Guzik said all cultures have said murder is wrong and kindness is good. All agree that we have particular obligation to our family. All say that honesty is good and that a man cannot have any woman he wants. They agree that stealing is wrong and that justice is good, and there are no cultures where cowardice is good and bravery is bad. I believe all cultures have the shadow of the six commandments. I grew up in Lama Buddhism culture. I didn't know God when I was young, but people still know how to do good and what good is. If you ask Lama Buddhists, they will, okay, they want to be a good person, right? So this proves that God's commandments are in the people's heart in Romans chapter 2, 14 to 15. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and souls either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. But here, someone will say, if we follow our own conscience and souls, can we be saved? Not at all. But the sad part is that people often reject it because of sin. In Romans chapter 5, Paul continually said, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, anyone died. Everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. So Jesus Christ is the second Adam, who only has no sin. So do you think you have kept the sixth commandment? How many of you? Six commandments. Yeah. I didn't get in my whole life. There's another joke. from Aaron that Moses broke all the commandments. Why? It's because Moses when he saw the Israelites worship the idols and persecuted Aaron and broke the tablets. Remember? Okay. But it's more than our basic understanding because Jesus said in Matthew a Sermon on the Mountain 5:21-22, you have heard that your ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. And he continually said in verse 27-28, you have heard the commandments that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looked at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I love Sermon on the Mountain. It influenced me a lot, touched me a lot. Especially in my hard time, really hard time. So have you sinned? The answer is yes. Everyone sinned. Then how can we be saved? The answer is still Jesus Christ. But how? Since the law reveals our sin, God also established the sacrificial system as a foreshadowing of the forgiveness of human sins. In the New Testament, the Israelites needed to offer sin sacrifices when they came before the Lord. Often, it is a lamb. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, God himself, died on the cross and has sacrificed himself as our sin offering forever. We will study the sacrifice system in the last part. In John 14, Jesus told us, if we love Jesus, we will obey his commandment. The Holy Spirit will live in us. John 14:15-16 said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. So, in these words, Trinity is here. Jesus Christ, the Father, Holy Spirit. It means, if we love Jesus, pay attention. Pay attention. This word. If we love Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us and helps us obey his commandments. He never leaves. The important thing is if we love Jesus. So if you love Jesus, what the Lord told me is that my mom died when I was 7, and I have lots of regrets and bitterness in my heart from my original family. But this scripture still remind me that I should pray for forgiving them and still need to honor them because I love God and I believe in him and his law. So why is it really important is because it's God's commandment. So the sixth commandment, the fifth commandment is like, okay, honor your father and mother, right? So especially for me, it's really hard because it's a mentally abusive history. So for me, it's really easy to be angry with them, but as a children of God, we need to forgive. We need to obey God because he loves us. Okay, let's go on. Wow. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke blowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance trembling in fear. And they said to Moses, you spoke to us and we will listen, but don't let God directly to us or we will die. So here are many cases where people will be afraid when we see God. When prophet Isaiah saw God's glory, he threatened in the book of Isaiah 6:5. Daniel threatened in the book of Daniel 10, verse 7 to 9. So it's all because of the glory of God and the sin of human. In the New Testament, when Peter realized Jesus is the Son of God, he replied, oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. Which is written in Luke 5:8. Okay, let's read last verses. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Moses answered them. Okay, don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you, and so let your fear of him will keep you from sinning. As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. So Moses converted the Israelites, right? So why Moses can convert those people? Because Moses already had a good relationship with God, not like other Israelites. So then we study verse 24 to 26. Oh, in this, okay, 22. And the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. You saw for yourself that I spoke to you from heaven. Remember, you must not make any idols of silver or gold to revile me. So God told that this is from heaven. This voice is from heaven. And still mentioned again this idol. So why I thought, okay, idol three times? Because it's a really problem between us and God. Okay, let's read verse 22, verse 24 to 26. Build for me an altar made of earth and offer your sacrifices to me, your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Build my altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you and bless you. If you use stones to build my altar, use only natural, uncut stones. Do not shape the stone with a tool, for that would make the altar unfit for holy use. And do not approach my altar by going up steps. If you do, someone might look up under your clothing and see your nakedness. So it's the sacrifice system, right? So today's learning is just the beginning. It's the beginning of the Old Testament laws. It's lots of laws and across the book, not only Exodus, Leviticus, and lots of laws here. So God knows we cannot keep the Ten Commandments. So then he gave us the sacrifice system, which will have sin offering. We will learn much later. So in the New Testament, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, sacrificed himself as our sin offering forever. We can come to God by faith in him forever. He still sent us the Holy Spirit to walk with us. We are not alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus, not only give us the law because we can keep it holy, but also give us a sacrifice system to get close to him. I should remember deeply in my heart and soul that Jesus Christ, my Lord, died for me at the forever sacrifice, and he raised from the dead. Okay, let's have a super summary about the Ten Commandments. It's actually two commandments, love God and love people. In the New Testament, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. But when Barak had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, he met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with his question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the commandments of prophets are based on the two commandments. Then we like to read a message from Paul in the book of Romans in New Testament and close today's message. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the law of marriage no longer applies to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and do not commit adultery when she remarries. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with cross, died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who has risen from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law arose these evil desires that produce a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. So the law was not meant to make us perfect on our own, but to make us realize our need for a Savior. The law leads us to Christ, who fulfilled the law. My dear brothers and sisters, have you given up your efforts to be justified by works and have placed your trust in the grace of Christ? The law is good, but we cannot keep it if we have no relationship with God. Because God is not only a theory or standard, He is a person. He will guide us, comfort us, and walk with us more than we are struggling to do by our own way and wisdom. Okay. Okay, let's pray. Okay, thank you, Father. Give us this time to study your word. Your word is so awesome, Lord. And please put your peace and joy in our hearts, Lord. And let us have the spiritual weapon to battle with the evil spirit, Lord. And we can overcome our own flesh like Pastor Aaron also told in the book of Galatians, Lord. Lord, please bless our list time and in Jesus' name. Oh, okay. Please also bless the food. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.